Let us unite our hearts together and let us all have a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his precious blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy, and we give this broadcast into thy hands, and we pray that the Holy Ghost himself will take it and apply it to every heart, minister to every soul, and glorify thine own Son in so doing. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me welcome you all to this broadcast this morning from Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. You are most welcome, and I trust that God will bless his word today to every heart. Please do remember the meeting tonight, going out at 7 p.m. on the gospel message. Do tune in again. Tell others about it to tune in. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, the preaching of the gospel, and we trust again that God will bless every heart that tunes in. Then do also remember on Wednesday night, the Bible study at 8 p.m. These services all go out on Facebook, and they also go out on YouTube. So tell your friends and your loved ones to tune into the services, and may God be pleased to apply his word. Let me thank your interim moderator, the Reverend Leslie Curran, very much indeed for this opportunity to do these services for Londonderry Free Church. It's my pleasure to be able to do this, and I want to thank Mr. Curran very much for this opportunity. Let us turn in the Word of God today to the book of the Psalms. Psalm number 23, that well-known psalm. Psalm number 23. And let me encourage you, just as you sit in your homes or wherever you're watching from, take your Bible and read along. Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23. Let us read together from verse number 1, please. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the reading of the word to every heart. Let us just unite our hearts together again, please, in a word of prayer. And let me encourage you, in your own home, as you watch the broadcast, you just bow your heads and ask the Lord to speak to your soul as we turn to the scriptures. And may God be pleased to draw very near. Let us all pray together. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee today for the Son of God, who loved the church and gave himself for it. We thank thee, O God, for this opportunity to come and worship thee as our God, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And we bow before thy Godhead, and we worship thee in the Holy Trinity of thy sacred persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we're so aware that we come today before thee as the mortal before the immortal, as the foolish before the infinitely wise, as creatures of time before the God of eternity, as those that are sinful before one that is immaculate in holiness, as those that are oft perplexed about what to do next before one who knows the end from the beginning. And our God, we come before thee this morning and we worship thee. And we draw near by the blood of our Redeemer. How we thank thee for the blood of Christ. How we thank thee for that new and living way which Christ has consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh. And O God, we come to thee today and we worship thee on this thy day, the Christian Sabbath. And we pray, O God, today that we might know, even as we gather around the scriptures of truth, we might know that great experience of being closed in with God and of knowing God ministering to our hearts. We pray that the Holy Ghost will come to every heart and to every soul. We pray, O God, that everyone that hears this message might know the Lord touch their heart and meet the need of that soul. We thank Thee, O God, for the work in Londonderry. We thank Thee for this great city. And we pray, O God, that You'll bless this congregation. Remember it in these days of vacancy. And we pray, O God, for the Reverend Curran and the church station here. We pray that wisdom might be given to lead the work even in these days in which we're passing through. And we pray, O God, that very soon in Londonderry there might be a man to take up the ministry in this city and to preach the everlasting gospel of the everlasting God. And Father, we pray to Thee that even today, as we gather here as a congregation by this means, we pray, O God, that Thou would draw near to every heart. Remember the needs of the congregation in Londonderry. Remember those that are sick. We pray, O God, that You'll draw near and touch every soul. Remember any that have been bereaved in recent times. We pray, O God, that Thou who art the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, we pray, O God, that You'll comfort every soul and minister to them. And we pray, O God, that somewhere in the shadow they'll find the Saviour and they'll know His nearness and His love and His compassion surrounding them, even in these days. Remember them, Lord. May they be so aware, people in these sorrowful places. We pray, O God, that they'll be so aware that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of a Saviour's undying love. And, O God, as we continue here before Thee, we would also confess our sins to Thee. O God, forgive our sins, for they are many. Sins of omission, when we've omitted to do what we ought to have done. Sins of commission, when we did those things which we shouldn't have done. Cleanse us in the blood of our Redeemer, and pardon our iniquity, even in these days. Remember our land and nation, Lord, even in these days of this virus. And we pray, O God, that You'll hear prayer, and even speed the day when our churches are open again for the public worship of Thy great and of Thy holy name. But, O God, as we come now to search the Scriptures, as we come to turn to the Word that Thou hast given for this hour, we pray, O God, that Thou would draw near. And I confess before heaven and this people my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in this broadcast. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Forgive my sins, for they're many. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism which the Lord alone does give. The anointing to preach and the anointing to hear with profit. Hear prayer now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn again in our Bibles to that 23rd Psalm where we have read from this morning. That's the Psalm I want to take, and I want to bring a message to you from it even at this point. As I'm sure many of you know, a shepherd in biblical times was one who tended to a flock of sheep. He was responsible to protect that flock from attack. He was responsible to feed that flock. He was responsible to lead them. And of course, responsible in times of danger to defend that flock. Now, bearing in mind, the one who penned the psalm was indeed David, as the psalm itself says at the very top, a psalm of David. But remember this, that David was a shepherd. Before David was ever the king of Israel, or before David was ever a soldier, David was a shepherd. That time when Samuel came to David's home to speak with his father Jesse, to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king, the Bible tells us that at that time David wasn't there. He was in the field keeping the sheep. The psalmist himself also wrote of David at a time in his life when the Lord had taken him from the sheepfolds and, of course, given him a work to do. There were times in David's life as the shepherd when he tells us himself, when he had cared for the sheep and watched for the sheep and actually delivered the sheep on occasions from the lion and the bear. And therefore David, who penned this psalm, he knew all of its shepherding. Our Lord tells us in Luke 15 about the lost sheep. And sometimes shepherding involves going after the lost sheep. Shepherding was also a skillful job, as Genesis chapter 46 would tell us. It was also a job which meant that there were days and days upon end when the shepherd would never leave the sheep. You think of the time of our Lord's birth, and Luke's gospel actually tells us they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The job of a shepherd, it wasn't a 9-to-5 job. It was a continual job. It was a calling. It was an occupation. They never left the sheep. And when you think of those shepherds in Luke chapter 2, when we read about them keeping watch over their flock by night, abiding in the fields, the thought is there, abiding by night in the dark nights, those dark hours which were so dangerous for the sheep. The shepherd was always there. The shepherd was always there. Now, I've given you that brief introduction about what a shepherd is before we come to really look at this psalm today. This psalm, Psalm 23, probably the most loved, certainly the best known. And I want to take this psalm, having given you that brief introduction, and speak to you on a message that I've entitled Gleanings from the Shepherd's Psalm. Gleanings from the Shepherd's Psalm. And the first thing I want to show you is, who is the shepherd in view? Verse number 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, Christ being a shepherd is a theme which runs throughout the whole book of God, throughout the whole scriptures. We read in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. It's a prophecy of Calvary. Zechariah's prophesying of the sword of justice, awaking against Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, as he's dying in their place, as he's putting away their sin. The Lord himself, also in John's gospel, declared, I am the good shepherd. If you want to turn there, please, John chapter 10, look with me there. And you have Christ himself declare that he's a shepherd, and therefore as a shepherd he's declaring that he has a flock. John chapter 10, verse number 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And therefore, as I have said, Christ is not only telling us he's a shepherd, because to be a shepherd he has to have a flock. Peter, in his writings, he also spoke about Christ as the chief shepherd. He was speaking to the elders, and he said to them, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory, which fadeth not away. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Or in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. If you want to turn there, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. And here we have Paul, and he speaks about Christ as the great shepherd. Christ himself, John 10, speaks about him as the good shepherd. Peter says the chief shepherd. But here in Hebrews 13, Paul declares Christ to be the great shepherd. Look what he says. Now the God of peace, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The thought of Christ, our Redeemer, as a shepherd runs throughout the book of God. Why is he the shepherd? He's the shepherd because of redemption. Because in John 10, I will not take time to go back to it, but let me just say what Christ went on to say. When Christ said, I am the good shepherd, he went on to say, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And thus, since Christ is our shepherd, the shepherd of his people by redemption, those sheep whom the Father entrusted to Christ, Christ is their shepherd. He's their shepherd by redemption. He's their shepherd by the cross. And it's very interesting when you see the position here of the 23rd Psalm, and it opens with these words, the Lord is my shepherd. Because the 23rd Psalm, as you know, obviously follows the 22nd Psalm. And the 22nd Psalm is known as the Psalm of the Cross. And in that Psalm we read how it opens. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words that Christ cried from Calvary's middle tree. The Psalm 22 actually records them. But the thought is, Psalm 22 is followed by Psalm 23 when the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. But it's only after we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At the beginning of Psalm 22, that we read at the beginning of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And here's the thought. Only when we experience the saving grace of God in our lives and know the value of Christ's blood and see by the eye of faith the sword awake against the shepherd, only then do we know the sweetness of the shepherd's care, because only every redeemed, saved, pardoned soul, only they can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Only they can say it. And therefore, we see right away who the shepherd is. Secondly, I want to show you, what does it mean to have Christ as a shepherd? What does it mean to have Christ as a shepherd? Well, let me suggest the first thing that may come to mind is it means this. We have been purchased. You see, sheep in the agricultural realm, they're not wild animals. They're not wolves or foxes or badgers or lions. They don't run wild. They don't have that nature. Sheep have been purchased. Somebody owns them. And in the spiritual realm, men and women, it is the exact same. Christ is our shepherd. He has purchased us. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6, you can take these references down. Paul said to them, ye are bought with a price. And of course, we know what that price was. We were bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. To have Christ as a shepherd, it means we have been purchased. The cross, the atonement, the very price of our redemption. Men and women, dear saved people, traveling on towards heaven. Whenever you think about Christ as your shepherd, you remember you were purchased. Just as in the agricultural realm, somebody owns the sheep. Somebody bought the sheep. So it is in the spiritual realm. We belong to Christ by redemption. He purchased us by his own blood. And though, as the book of Revelation tells us, Christ has a flock that no man can number, such is the multitude of Christ's flock, yet every one of them can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He has purchased me. What else does it mean to have Christ as a shepherd? It also means this. Not only have we been purchased, we will be provided for. We will be provided for. You see, a sheep, again in the agriculture realm, is a dependent creature. A sheep doesn't go hunting. It doesn't go out to catch prey. But the psalmist here says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the thought is, I will not want that for which I need, because the Lord will provide for me. It's part of his work as my shepherd. You see, whenever David, writing here by inspiration, said, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord knew that people knew what a shepherd was. A shepherd is somebody who purchases his flock, and then he provides for his flock. But look at the psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then verse 2, we see part of the provision. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's food. The Lord feeds his sheep. Food for the soul. That's primarily what it means. It's not primarily speaking about our daily bread. It's speaking about food for the soul. He causes us to be fed. And the Lord, as you know and I know, he feeds us by his word. And maybe I speak to one today, and you're a new convert, and you're not long saved, and you've only recently come to faith in Jesus Christ. Here's a word for you. Peter told the young converts, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. God has given you a book. He has given you a Bible to feast upon, to grow upon, that you might be strong and do exploits, because the Christian is provided for. He's fed. Seen in those words, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He feeds us through His word. He ministers through us through the means of grace. When you go to church and listen to your minister or pastor, God is feeding you. He's ministering to your hearts. It's all part of being a member of the flock of Christ. What does it mean to have Christ as a shepherd? It means we've been purchased. It means we will be provided for. It also means something else. We will be guided. We will be guided. We will be guided safely home to heaven. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Look at the end of verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord leads us. He goes before us. John 10 again. My sheep follow me. He leads us. And maybe I speak to one today, and again, you have been praying in recent times about the will of God for your life, or you're wanting to make a decision about something, or a job situation, or something peculiar to you, and you've been praying about it. You say, Lord, lead me. You're my shepherd. You've promised to lead me. Lead me in the right path. Teach me, instruct me in the way which I should go. It's all part of what it means to have Christ as a shepherd. But look at verse 2 again. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What does that mean? Still waters. Still waters gives a sense of a great calm. The spiritual sense, it's inner peace. Still waters of a conscience at rest. As the Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we have peace with God, that our sins are all forgiven. Dear believer, the night you were saved, you were led beside still waters. Still waters where you could say, it's okay, my sins are all forgiven. I'm pardoned. Those wrongs that I did, they're gone. They're under the blood. Or still waters of communion with God. Still waters of a great calm. Or again, maybe somebody, maybe you have known, maybe an older believer, and you have heard them say, having prayed about a situation, and not sure would they do it, but then when they did do it, and they went ahead, they said maybe something like this, I had a great peace about it. It's a witness of the Spirit. The Lord has led in it. He's led beside the still waters. And what does it mean to have Christ as shepherd? It means we've been purchased. It means we will be provided for. It means we will be guided. It also means something else. There'll be reviving and restoration. Where's the believer that doesn't need reviving at times? We get weary and well-doing. We maybe get discouraged. We need encouragement. Look with me at verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. And again, it's all in this thought of what it means to have Christ as the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. It's interesting to note that in the animal kingdom, probably nothing wanders off like a sheep. Nothing as foolish as a sheep. In Luke 15, our Lord spoke about the lost sheep. But here's the thought. He restores us. He revives us. But it's all thought. It's all in this thought of the provision. It's all in this thought of what it means to have Christ as the shepherd. Now, it would be remiss of me on this point. He restoreth my soul. Not to just pause a wee moment and say to everybody that's listening, could it be that I am speaking to one and you're just not going on with God the way you used to? Something has come in. Or somebody has come in. And the fire that once burned brightly is no longer burning brightly. And the man or the woman that you once were in your heart, you're no longer, and you've grown cold, and you know it. Nobody will know it better than you know it. Oh, I'm not saying you don't still believe the cardinal doctrines. I'm not saying you still don't believe the same truths as you always believed, but you know the fire's not burning as once it did. Your desire for the book, your desire to pray, it's not the same. I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you. Christ, your shepherd, therefore there's restoration for you. There's reviving for you. Come back to him. Put whatever away it was that took you from in the first place, and the Lord restores, the Lord revives. Let me show you something else. Look at the next verse, or verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me. A table spread. A gospel table. Ah, what bounty in the gospel table. Pardon. Forgiveness. Assurance of God's love. A right to all the privileges of the children of God. Adoption, justification, sanctification, a heaven that awaits. Thou preparest a table before me. But note where he prepares it. Even in the presence of mine enemies. Now we're going to look at the enemy in a wee moment. But I want you to note something. The Bible makes it clear that every Christian has an enemy. Threefold. The world, the flesh, the devil. The battle always goes on. But you note with me in verse 5 that the enemy of the Christian cannot stop the provision that Christ makes for the Christian. Because the Lord provides for us. He spreads a table for us even in the presence of my enemy. Look at verse 6. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There you could say, there's faithfulness. Again, under the thought of what it means to have Christ as a shepherd. He's a faithful shepherd. Goodness and mercy, those great pillars of the truth, those great pillars of the faith, goodness and mercy, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, follow the believer all the days of their life until they come to death, and the goodness and mercy of God's still there, and then they go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The mercy of God, tender mercies, new mercies, fountain of mercies, these pillars from everlasting to everlasting, all for the flock of God. All for those that have Christ as the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Christ. What does it mean to have Christ as a shepherd? It means we've been purchased. It means we'll be provided for. It means we'll be fed and guided and restored. And we have one who's faithful unto the end. Thirdly, what is the security in Christ the shepherd? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Look again with me at verse number 5, please. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And there we have, in the middle of this great psalm, the enemy of the Christian in view. The enemy of the Christian in view. And therefore we must ask the question, what is the security in Christ the shepherd? Because Christ is your shepherd, dear believer, there will be preservation and protection. It's seen in the security that the Lord gives. Verse 5 again, we see we have an enemy. The Christian life is not a utopia. There's an enemy. But the believer has a great security. Now again, remember the theme, the shepherd and the sheep. In the natural realm, I suppose, for the sheep there, a fox or a wolf or a lion or a bear, just to keep it in the setting, is that constant threat to the sheep. But you think about that natural realm, because the thought is an ordinary shepherd in the natural realm, the farming community, in spite of all diligence, he may lose a sheep. The wild beast may come when the shepherd's doing something else or attending to something else. But understand, that can never happen in the spiritual realm. It can't happen to the flock of God. It can't happen to that flock that's purchased, to that flock that's being provided for. Oh yes, they have their enemies. Satan and the powers of darkness. Peter tells us they go about seeking whom they may devour. But with Christ as the shepherd, the security of the sheep is certain. And here's why. Because the security of the sheep, the security of the flock of God, is never in the flock. It's in the shepherd. And therefore, there's the great security that the flock of God have, that multitude that no man can number, those sheep that have heard the shepherd's call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And they came to Christ, and they were saved by Christ. And I want you to understand, dear brother, sister, listen to this message, that the security of a believer is impregnable. Because for a sheep to be taken and lost in any realm, the shepherd has to be overcome. The shepherd has to be overcome. But dear believer, the one who saved you and is now your shepherd, our blessed Redeemer, our Holy Lord, our blessed Christ, he can't be overcome. Think of his attributes a moment. Oh, I know the devil's powerful, but he's not all powerful. Think of Christ's attributes. Christ can't be overpowered because he's omnipotent. That means unlimited in might. He can't be outmaneuvered because he's omnipresent. Christ can't be outthought because he's omniscient. He can't be deceived because he knows all things. And thus the safety of the sheep is secure in Christ. Go to John 10 a moment, please, to show you one more verse. And that great chapter that speaks of Christ as a shepherd. Oh, brother, sister, think about this. Your security is impregnable. But go to John 10. Look at verse 27 and 28. My sheep, there they are. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, brother and sister, see this. Look how it begins, verse 27. My sheep. Christ makes it very clear, you belong to Christ. Remember whenever Peter was getting recommissioned in Galilee's lake, there on the seashore, Christ said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Did you note what he told Peter? They're mine, Peter. You feed my sheep. I own them. I purchased them. And Christ here in John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, there's the death blow to the Arminian nonsense that you could be saved on a Tuesday and damned on a Thursday. You couldn't be. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, dear believer, it's not that there aren't those that would want to pluck you out of Christ's hand. It's a case that it's not possible. The devil would love you to be out of Christ's hand, but it's not possible. He can't do it because the security of the sheep is in the shepherd. You think of life itself. You think of David, the one that penned this psalm. In fact, just turn to 1 Samuel 23 a moment. 1 Samuel 23, and look with me there at verse number 14. 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. It's a time in David's life when he was hounded and Saul tried to kill him. But look at 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day But God delivered him not into his hand. David's security in life was Christ. The Lord wouldn't give David over to his enemies. Job chapter 1, we don't have time to turn there. But you think of Job chapter 1. When the devil laments that he had tried to get at Job. But he says, thou hast made a hedge about him. God had surrounded Job. God was protecting Job. And the devil couldn't touch him. The security of the sheep. The security of the believer. It's impregnable. It's in Christ. Turn with me on that thought to one more verse. Go to the end of your Bible. And that little book before Revelation. Go to the book of Jude. And go to verse number 24. Jude verse 24. And there we have a great statement again that speaks about the shepherd keeping the sheep. Now unto him, verse 24, Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. There it is, unto him that's able to keep you from falling. And the thought is, Christ keeps us from falling because one day he's going to present us before the Father's throne, faultless. You say, how could I ever be presented faultless? We're presented faultless because we're presented on the merits of another. We're presented clothed in the garments of salvation, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that great day when Christ before the Father's throne presents the whole flock faultless before the Father, those that were entrusted to him from before the foundation of the world, Christ as the great shepherd of the flock presents them faultless. Oh yes, there's no perfect Christian. But every Christian has a perfect Christ who did a perfect work to take them all to a perfect place and present them before a glorious God. The security of the sheep. Fourthly, we've seen who is the shepherd. What does it mean to have Christ as shepherd? We've seen the security of the sheep. Fourthly, let me say this. What is the scope of Christ's shepherding? Go to Psalm 23. We've already really touched it. Psalm 23 again. What's the scope? It begins in that great statement, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. But the scope of Christ's shepherding of the individual sheep, or all the sheep, whatever way you want to take it, is not only for the journey of life, but it's for all eternity. Look with me through the Psalm. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now they've come to the great moment. Death's coming. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would David fear no evil? Because he was a great soldier? No. No good in death. Because he was the king? No. He would fear no evil because the shepherd was still there. Look what he said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shepherd has been with him in life. And now death's coming, and it's casting its shadow upon him. And David's in the valley. But David knows the shepherd's still there. And death to David, as death is to any Christian, is only the doorway or the chariot to take us home. To take us home to glory. And therefore, the scope of Christ's shepherding that begins in those words, the Lord is my shepherd, it ends at the end of verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David, man and woman, is not speaking there about a building made with hands. He's speaking about the heavenly Jerusalem. He's speaking about the land of the blessed. He's speaking about that place that the old hymn speaks of. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. That's what he's speaking of. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's the scope of Christ's shepherding. Those that Christ purchases, he provides for. Those that Christ purchases, he preserves against all attacks of the enemy. Those that Christ purchases, he takes them and he has them home with him in the house of the Lord forevermore. The scope of Christ's shepherding, life, death, eternity. Finally, and I have to close, the challenge of Christ as a shepherd. You say, preacher, what do you mean by the challenge of Christ as a shepherd? I mean this. The majority of people in the world in which we live, they don't have Christ as a shepherd. They live as lost sheep. Sadly, many of them die as lost sheep. They live in a wild, howling wilderness. They're in the miry clay. They're under the control of the devil himself, deceived by him. Dear people seeking pleasure where it never can be found. People with no one to care for them in the spiritual realm. No one to preserve or provide for them. No Christ, no mercy, no heaven awaiting. Well, here's the challenge. To the believer, first of all, tell your loved ones about the shepherd. Tell them there's a great shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. Tell them of the cross where the shepherd died in the place of the sheep. But dear unsaved, and maybe I do speak to some listening to this broadcast, and you're not saved. And you know what that means? That means you can't say the Lord is my shepherd because he's not. You've never come to Christ. You've never been saved by Christ. You've never been pardoned. And therefore the challenge of this wonderful psalm is this. All these things that flow from that statement, the Lord is my shepherd, down to the end of verse number 6, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, those only apply to the believer. And therefore you need to come to Christ at once. Even where you sit in your living room. Right now, turn from sin in your heart. Flee to Christ. The great shepherd. The good shepherd. Be pardoned by him. Be forgiven by him. Be brought into his banqueting house. Be brought into the fold. You say, preacher, will Christ do that for me today? He will do it for you now. Because remember this. Christ is still searching for his sheep. He's still seeking that which is lost. Will you come to him? Will you come to him today? And then you'll be able to say, from this moment, you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. You'll be able to say, he prepared a table before me. You'll be able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my shepherd's still there. And you'll be able to say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, come to Christ. Be saved today. Maybe I speak to one backslidden, not walking with the Lord as once you did. Now, my friend, return. Put away those things that have robbed you. Those things that have robbed you of the blessing of heaven. And return again to the safety of the great shepherd who gave his life for you and who gave his life for me. The Lord is my shepherd. May he be the shepherd of all that hear this broadcast for his name's sake. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer as we bring the broadcast to a close. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the One who is the great Shepherd of the sheep. We thank Thee for the One whose blood was shed to purchase the redemption of that flock which no man can number. But we pray, O God, today that You'll apply this word, even by the Holy Ghost. Take all that has been of Thyself and apply it. Take all that's been of the preacher and let it fall to the ground because it's worthless. But, O God, glorify Christ. May He this very day see above the travail of His soul and be abundantly satisfied and find the lost sheep even today. Bless Thy truth. Keep Your hand upon this congregation and spread Your covering wings abroad till all our wandering cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, may all our souls arrive in peace. And until then, may grace, mercy, and peace from God and Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with all that know the Saviour this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.